Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and throw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Do you like to be outdoors like I do? If so, unlock the wilderness with Onyx Maps. It is your ultimate guide to exploring, hunting, and conquering the great outdoors. With detailed maps, real-time tracking, and exclusive access to public and private lands, Onyx Maps is your key to adventure. Discover the possibilities and never get lost again with Onyx. So subscribe today using the promo code K920, letter K, number 920, and know where you stand. It is another beautiful day for a What's Up Wednesday. This is where we're going to get all your canine training know-how, right? Thank you guys for tuning in. And it is hot. I got off work a little early today. And when I come home and stepped up on the porch, I was like a kid at Christmas. I seen a box, had W Hunting Supply tape on it. And I'm like, what have I got here? So anyway, I got me a little swag. I don't know if you can see that or not. Got me a little swag that I can wear. Got me a shirt. And I'm going to tell you, old Doobie hooks me up, man. So I got some of the clips that go on the antennas for your tracking collars. I bought some clips before, and I really liked them. I just didn't have enough to do all my collars. And after coming back from Canada, I'm like, I got to have a few more of those. So, man, these clips are the bomb. You put them on, takes two per collar to put them on, and it holds the antenna up. You don't have to zip time or do whatever. If you've got the extra long ones or the ones that's got the wrap on it that are heavy that kind of bounce back and forth, you can put those clips on it, and it takes care of it. So I really like them. I've been using them. I'm tickled to death with them. It's hot. It's hotter than a firecracker on the 4th of July here. I'm going to go fishing. I got a tournament I'm going to fish this evening. We're going to do a little smallie fishing. So hopefully the river levels come up a little bit. It's been hot and humid. The water levels have been extremely low for this time of year. Like, we're running in the August low level, which is low. If you don't know where you're running in a river, man, you're going to tear that bottom of your boat all up. In fact, I fished Father's Day. We went out and fished Father's Day, and I had the girls in the boat, and I actually banged pretty good going up river. So hopefully it'll come up just enough where I can jet around where I need to go to catch those bass, and hopefully I win me a little money, right? Not really. I never win, but we enjoy it. We have a good time fishing, that's for sure. So, yeah, just got back from Canada. You've heard the podcast with Sarah and Nick by now and the one with Ben. And I wanted to go over a couple things that I ran into while I was up there with my younger dogs and just kind of tell you about them. But first, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me years ago. And me and Stefan was talking about this through Messenger the other day with the dogs that we have. And I want to put it out there for everybody to hear and understand, and maybe it'll give somebody a little bit more patience or give the dog a little bit more opportunity. So this has been back in, so Frosty, my Frosty dog passed away in October 2004. So this is going to be 2002, probably 2002. I had got a pup from a buddy of mine, and really good looking pup, like very pleased with his conformation, the way he's put together, had good running gear. And I hunted the dog. I mean, I took every time I went. I only had four or five dogs at the time. So, I mean, everything I had went. And I run this dog, and the dog never would do nothing. Like, he would go on a race, come back to you, like, or he wouldn't be treeing. Like, he never put everything together. So this dog was a year and a half, and I told the guy that I got him from, I'm like, hey, if you want this dog back, I'll give him back to you. Like, he's not suiting me. The dog was 14, 15 months old at the time. So season was wrapping up, and the last day of training season, this was going to be 2002. I'm sure about it now. The last day of training season, we treed a bear down a creek bed and got in there, and the bear backed down the tree before we could get our hands on the dogs. And they run it down the creek, I don't know, a couple hundred yards and treed it. And when I got in there that time, old Smokey was sitting back, I mean, calking every breath, like just, I mean, pretty as you please, tree dog. And before we could get the dogs tied again, the thing come out and went down, and we treated it the third time. Well, that time we was able to get in and get everything tied up. And from that day forward, that dog was, by then he was probably 15, could have been 16 months old, 15, we'll give him 15. From that day forward, that dog never missed a beat. Ended up being one of the finer hounds that I've owned. superior tree dog, sit back off his rear end and just cut him off like you'd want to hear a dog treed. And I almost made the mistake of letting that dog go because he did not suit me and he wasn't doing what I thought he should have been doing at, 14, 15 months old, right? So a lesson learned on my part, which is going to bring you into the conversation that, Stefan and I had. So we have some running dogs mixed in with our stuff. And everybody that I've talked to said that the running dog stock can be a little bit shy, right? Be a little bit timid. So Spook, i.e. Spook, got his name because it took me so long to get my hands on him. Kate, I ended up with Kate because my buddies couldn't catch her. Like, she's coyote. And it took me a month, maybe a month and a half to work with her to get her where I could catch her, in the woods, turn her loose and not have an issue. So during this conversation, he was asking me about my dogs. And I told him that, yes, they are. They can be standoffish and so on and so forth. What people, I get this in the canine world a lot. People see certain things and they believe because they see this that it's not going to equate for that. So I'm going to explain that to you in hunting terms. So if you have a dog that's shy or timid, that does not mean that they're not going to be a game catching machine, because when prey drive kicks in, it usually overtakes everything else. That desire to catch game is going to override that shyness. Now, does that mean when the dog crosses the road with an animal, with a bear or cougar or cat or deer, whatever, does that mean if that dog sees you, he don't spook and go around you? No, it does not. But I have seen from the stock that I'm running that the dogs, when that prey drive kicks in, nothing else in the world matters. And we've all done it. I just told you a story about where that dog wasn't really, he was a little timid. But just because you see timidness in a dog does not mean that they're not going to be game crazy. It just means that if you are willing, you probably need to spend a little more time with it and build a little bit more bond with it before you just write the dog off and he's not going to be what I want. And everybody takes a certain type of dog. I mean, the dogs that I hunt are a certain style and a certain type. The dogs that you guys hunt are a certain style and a certain type. And we like what we like because it fits the mold for us, right? But I just wanted to put that out there. I thought that was a great talking point. I've seen it with my own eyes that just because a dog is shy to you does not mean that it's going to be game shy. In fact, the chances are probably likely that it is not going to be. And if you've got one that's human shy and game shy, when that prey drive kicks in and it still don't want to do it, then yes, that's when you probably need to make a decision on the direction that you need to go with that hound. So just want to throw that out there. And I'm going to tell you a funny before I get started on my Canadian trip. So I was out feeding the dogs here a week or so ago, and you guys seen me post my shepherd, Vice. He is my retired police dog. He is 9 years old. He lives in the house. He's bougie. He lives in the house. He thinks he is anyway, right? So when I'm out with the dogs, he's out. I mean, he does stuff with us. So he's out all the time. He's around my dogs all the time. And I fed the dogs the other day and I heard what I thought was a growl. And Vice was around the pen with two of my dogs. So I was like, knock it off. And I go, and I'm cleaning pens. That's what I'm doing. So, I mean, just a few seconds later, I hear it again. And, by this time, this is not acceptable here at the Hyatt Hotel. Like, it is not. We are not having that type of behavior. So I heard it again. And I mean, I pop up and I'm like, you better stop it. And I look around and I'm like, well, the dogs aren't paying attention, so something going on. Well, I stood there for a minute. Stinking horse was out behind the dog kennels, and he was going, pff, pff. And I was hearing that, and I thought either Vice was growling at my hound or my hound was growling at Vice. And I'm like, oh, man, you're an idiot. Like, how did you not know that? But I had to laugh at myself because that was pretty funny that I was getting on my dogs, and they're looking at me like, what, Dad? Like, what? And, I mean, you know, Vice is about as laid back and, you know, could care less. He tolerates these pups all over him and, you know, the hound, like, you couldn't ask for a better demeanor dog than what he is. And yet I thought he was growling at one of the dogs and it was actually the horse back there doing whatever he was doing, blowing his nose or whatever. So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. All right. On to Canada. So I don't know that I made a mistake, but it's a training issue that I definitely want to address. And I'm going to tell you guys about it and tell you, you know, why, what I'm thinking and why I'm, you know, probably going to change it. So the first morning we were up there, we had a target bear on camera. We go to that site and turn loose. And I've got, you know, Hootie Heart and Attica and Axe probably loose. They go in there, they open. And I mean, they forevermore, hooray to rail, jam, slammed. I mean, they yoked that thing. Wham, 400 yards, they come treed. The guides are looking at me, Sarah and Nick's looking at me like, you dog tree coon? Like, no, they haven't. You run a Fisher? I'm like, I don't know. They don't have them down there at Taos. Anyway, we go in there, and before we leave the truck, I look at my Garmin, and I mean, I just take a quick glance at it. It looks like everybody's there. So I go on about my business. So I drop my Garmin and I get in there. I think technology has shortcut hunting. And I'll explain to you why. And I feel like a lot of that shortcuts hurt us because we pay more attention to the Garmin than we do the actual dogs and the dogs working and what the dogs are doing. We depend on the Garmin to give us answers instead of looking, listening, and learning, right? So I don't pay a lot of attention to my Garmin. If I can hear the dogs, that's what I'm doing. I'm listening. And I'm hard of hearing, but I can hear the tone and the pitch of the dogs. So I dropped the Garmin, didn't pay attention to it. Walk into the tree. You know, everybody's tying up dogs. I'm tying up dogs. And I get there and I start taking inventory, right? I'm like, okay, one, two. I've got six dogs with me. Wait, there's only four here. Wait, I'm missing two dogs. So I go back to the Garmin and I'm like, oh, so Sassy, which is my little, she's 14 months now and she'll be 15, and Lady, which is 12 months. So I call them my pups. So if you hear me say that, that's what I'm referring to. You can categorize them however you want, but they're my dog, puppy still. Well, they're not there. And I look on the tracker and they're 1.7 miles from where we're standing. And I'm like, okay, so we grab the dog, we take pictures, and we decide we're not going to harvest that bear. It's a sow. We're going to leave it alone. We grab the dogs up, walk back to the truck, and we start formulating a plan. Like, okay, what are we going to do to get to these dogs? So they're 1.7 miles at this point. So we decide we're going to go out, drive back around, and try to get closer to them. So we drive out, start up another road, and we get within 0.6 of a mile of them. So I'm going to walk into them. I'm like, I'll go get them. No big deal. I'm not a huge bark indicator. The 25s, you know, kind of hit or miss, but I will tell you that one of my buddies up, Luke, showed me up there a little bit more about them. So I'm gonna start looking at it a little more, but I don't use a bark indicator. So I take off walking, and I only got 0.6 of a mile. We're in flat ground. We're in Canada. It took me a long time to get that 0.6 of a mile. I ended up walking like 2 miles to get around to them. I had to go through blow down country. I had to walk around small little swamps and, you know, waterways and all this stuff. So it took me a while. But anyway, it was 2 hours from the time that we left the tree to the time that I got around there where I could have possibly heard them was 2 hours. And I didn't hear them. And maybe I couldn't, but I didn't. So I give them a little bit of time, and I start hollering for them. Well, they start coming back to me, and they get around to a certain point. Well, Sassy splits off, and Lady comes on around. She ends up swimming this pretty good lagoon, pond, whatever you want to call it. She swims, and I mean, it's like 200 yards. She swims it. She comes to me. Well, Sassy ends up backtracking and going back to the truck. So we have to go back around and pick her up. So here's what my thought process is. Lady has been on two bear prior to this. Never been on a walking bear. As far as I know, Sassy's never been on a walking bear. Sassy does not tree like she should if she can't see it. If she can see it, she trees really well, which she did in December. You heard us talk about it. But if she's leaving the tree, I don't need her taking her sidekick along, which is Lady, my younger pup. I don't need two problems. And I'm going to create that problem for Monkey See, Monkey Do. So we basically decided that we felt like they took the bigger bear and went on with it, because the same path was going and coming from the same area, same direction. So we give them the benefit of the doubt. We're like, okay, we can't prove them wrong. I'm still in my mind not 100% confident that that's what they did, but they could have run a moose. Don't know. They could have run a deer. I've worked on them. They're definitely not broke by any means, but I have them where they think about it before they do it. And Sassy's a really nice track dog. She drives a track. Lady's very track minded. So after a discussion with Nick and Sarah, we all kind of believe that that's probably what happened. And I say probably because I'm not 100%. So after that, I've decided that I'm not going to hunt them together, right? I'm just not going to do it. So the next morning we go out and I put Sassy up and I take Lady, and we end up having a split race. Axe, Addy, and Lady end up treeing a bear, and then Spook, Kate, Hootie and Hart, Tanner, and I think Xena was there. They treed a bear. So I was really pleased with the young dogs, the two-year-olds, because that's Axe and Attica. And Lady was there treeing good, like no problems, but I didn't have Sassy there to pull her away. If that's what happened, I can't prove it, and I don't know that. If they were running a bear, then I'm not, that's just the way it goes, right? But I don't know. So I split them up. That was Monday. Tuesday, I think I took Sassy and did not take Lady. Well, then Wednesday, I guess I have a lapse in judgment again, and I end up with both of the, well, the girls wanted to take them both. That's what happened. So I ended up taking them both again, and we had another split race. Attica is up on a bear. We'd seen it on camera the day before, but we did not see it that night. And anyway, the dogs left out of there in the same direction, and when they crossed the road, they split, and Attica went on. Hard, Hootie, Sassy, and Lady went another direction with Ben's dogs. And so we get in there, and I don't know, 20 minutes or so, Attica pops up tree. She's 1.2 miles from us. So we end up getting on the Argo. Sarah takes us in as close as we can get, which is about 800 yards. And we start walking in there, and I'm like, Sarah's like, well, my pup's in there. And we get closer, and I'm like, I'm hearing another dog. And Sarah's like, well, I mean, you know, my pup's there. And I'm like, yeah, but it sounds like three dogs. So I check my Garmin out. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's only showing Addy on my end. So we get in there, and as soon as we get to the tree, Rogue pops around the tree. And what I had done is I had deactivated his collar on the handheld. Thank goodness that he had a collar and the tracker was on him. But I guess I had deactivated it for whatever reason, and he was in there. So Addy and Rogue and Sarah's young pup, they ended up treeing that one bear. So I was really pleased with that. So Ben and Nick goes around, and they end up, you know, the dogs got into a park. It got extremely, extremely hot that day. And I mean, hot, hot. I mean, 11 o'clock, it was like 83 degrees. dogs start getting strung out. But Attica, or not Attica, but Sassy and Lady stayed with Hart for 90% of the time. And then I don't know what happened. They got caught up in a waterway. And Hart appeared that she got across it. And nobody else crossed it at that point. And Hart went on about another mile and a half. And we ended up, that's when we had to take the canoes in and get her. So Sassy starts backtracking. And Lady ends up coming behind her, but Lady ends up laying down. We get within 3/4 mile, Sassy, and able to call her back to us. But Nick, Maddie, and Sarah had to go in and get Lady, and she had laid down. That's not a trait that I'm fond of, but they had a long run. Maddie said when they got her, she was in a bunch of blowdowns. So maybe she just got tired and laid down. I don't know. I don't like that trait. I don't like it. Hopefully it was just a one-time thing. But I hunted them together. They hung together. And you know how, like, certain dogs just cling to each other. So after that point, after Wednesday, I'm like, nope, I'm not hunting them together again. And they didn't do anything wrong that day. They was on a walking bear. They did the best they could with it. Like I said, they were in no man's land. I'll tell you that. There was no good way to get in there to them. They were in a big piece of timber and with lakes and ponds and stuff in them. And it was what it was. But after that point, I didn't hunt them together again. So what I'm telling you is I don't want to start problems. If Sassy's not committed to the tree, I don't want her taking Lady with her, because then I got two problems to fix instead of one. And like I said, when the leaves are off, Sassy tree's pretty good. And I'm hoping with a little bit of age, she's in that 14, 15 month old, getting ready to be range, 15 month old range. So like I expect her by fall to be clicking on all cylinders. And she is a Kemp bred dog, which she did not come from Mike, but she is a full Kemp bred dog. And from my experience, you know, this was the age range that Spook and Kate, you know, really took off with treeing. So I expect that behavior to change as we go. So that's the thing that I did that I wished I'd have switched up a little bit, even though I can't say they done anything wrong. It would just be a peace of mind for me to know what happened on that first track. If Lady was at the tree and went on, or did they just take the track on and go on themselves? Because again, I wasn't watching my Garmin. I wasn't paying attention. I thought all my dogs were together at the tree, so I didn't pay attention to it. It didn't matter. I could hear them plain as day. We walked to them. They just weren't there when I got there. So letting go. That's what the title of this one's going to be, letting go. So you guys, I've got a litter of puppies now, and I've got they're 10 months old now, 4-10 months old, and I can't continue to keep all the dogs that I have, right? So at some point in time, I've got to let a couple dogs go. And I don't want to let any of my dogs go. I'll just tell you, like, I don't want to let them go. If I keep them all, I'll keep them all. But while I was up there, I ended up letting one of my pretty much finished hounds go. And I know where he's at. I have contact with him. I'll know pretty much everything he does. I know the shape he's in. But I went home that night after letting him go, and I didn't sleep. Like, I did not sleep. It bothered me that much. And I got to thinking about, like, it never bothered you before, like, you know, prior. And I don't sell dogs. Like, I just don't. I don't like to sell dogs. But it bothered me for a couple of reasons. The first and foremost is we spend so much time with our dogs that, you know, they have meaning in our life. Like, they're a part of our life. And yes, they have a purpose. You know, we are definitely utilitarian. The dog needs to do what he needs to do. But we spend a lot of time, just like our puppies right now. We've already started the ENS, the early neurological stimulation stuff. They're a week old as of today. we've got those pups in our hands, you know, from the time that they're born until, you know, we get them trained and we either keep them or we let our friends, you know, we place them with our friends strategically or whatever we do. But we spend a lot of times, and the dogs have more meaning to me now than they ever have. And that may have come with age. I'm not sure. I don't even like to let my pups go. Like, I want to keep them all, but I know I can't. So I've had to let three dogs go here over the last, you know, couple months, four months. And it weighs on me more than it ever has. And I know where they're at. I know who's got them. And I know they're in a good place. They're going to be hunted. They're going to be taken care of. But just the bond that I have with them and the time that I spend with them, not even hunting, not even in the woods, that we spend here at the house, or, you know, loading them up in the truck and riding down the road, or taking them down to the creek and letting them swim. Like, they have a meaning and a purpose for our life. And I think it's got to be some age with me, but it bothers me. Like, it really bothers me to have to let dogs go that I know I can't keep them all. I know it. Like, I tell myself, hey, man, you can't keep them all. But letting them go is a very difficult thing for me. And it's never been that way until here within the last year or so. But I thought I'd tell you guys that. You know, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. You know, like I said, 20 years ago, could have cared less. Buy a dog, here you go. I've made a lot of mistakes selling dogs that I shouldn't have sold. And you've heard me talk about that. There's a couple that I'd love to have back. And there's a couple breedings that I wished I'd have made that I didn't. But can't go back and change this thing, just move forward, right? But letting go is extremely hard and extremely difficult. And it seems like it's becoming more difficult for me. I don't like it. I know it's a part of it. I try to place the dogs where I know I've got contact with them at all times. So that helps. But, you know, it's still like taking a little piece of you. Or that's how I felt. When I was coming home from Canada, you know, I was sitting there trying to process all this. It was running through my head, like, you know, why? And a lot of it is that. And I also want the people to be satisfied. I don't want, you know, just because the dogs please me or satisfy me, that don't mean that everybody else is going to like them, right? You know, they're what I like. They're what that perform for me. That doesn't mean that everybody else is going to feel the same way. So just take that in consideration when you're letting a dog go, when you let it go. So I got to do a product thing real quick. So I picked up this Dark Energy charging banks. They are charging banks. They're waterproof. You can submerge them in water. They have the Pro and the Nano. They've got solar panels, which I cannot wait to get on my boat and try. I don't have one of them right now. They're out of stock, but I do have the Nano and the Persuasion Pro. I love it. Guys, there's nothing we do that we're not out. Like, I carry a charging bank with me when I'm in the woods hunting. It's in my go bag every time I go to the woods. That way, if my Garmin goes dead, I can charge it. With the new 300s, I should never have that problem. But if my phone, you know, when it's cold, my phone goes dead, like, I have something to charge it with. When I'm on my boat, I have it with me all the time. I've got one under the seat of my boat. Every time I'm in the water, I have it. So I'm excited about this. I really like this charging bank. You know, if you guys are looking for a charging bank, I've got a promo code. I'll throw it in show notes. And it's the same thing. It's code 4, which means everything's okay. It means this thing is okay. I really like it. It's got a lot of charges in it. I can run my computer off of it. I'm very pleased with it. Like, I'm excited to have it and to be using it. And if you guys are like me and you're always wanting something to back up just in case, just like the day that I killed the bear on the hole in the on the cliff, you know, that was, we left at 6-7 o'clock in the morning. I didn't get out of the woods until 9:30 that night. My phone was dead. My radio had went dead. Like, I still had my Garmin, which was on its last leg. So I had turned it off actually when I was sitting there waiting on Wes and him to come and get me. So I'd saved it a little bit. But from that point forward, I started carrying something with me. And now I have the dark energy and I love it. So if you guys are interested in a battery pack, you should go check them out. It's a great product. It's a good company with some really great guys. So with that, guys, we're going to leave you. Thank you for joining in on What's Up Wednesday.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.